Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Nick Foles in the gun. Patterson to his left. Takes the snap against a four-man rush. Looks left, looks right. Now he throws too tall. Off the hands of Miller. Intercepted Harrison Smith. He is hit by Kmet and down at the 41-yard line of the Bears. Tip pass into the hands of Harrison Smith. He's always been a Bears killer, and he picks up a big one there. Snap, Kirk Cousins takes. Here comes Khalil Mack as Cousins goes to throw into the end zone, and a one-handed catch. Left corner led down the sidelines. What a catch by Adam Thielen. Touchdown, Vikings. Working on screen into the left corner of the end zone, and the Vikings are up 6-0. They stack a pair of receivers to the right. Snap, Cousins, with time, throws to the goal line to the end zone. Touchdown, Thielen. And the Vikings are back in front. Foles has nowhere to go. He can't escape. Finally gets rid of the football at the last second. It's bouncing around. They finally call it incomplete, and Foles is on his back. He's not getting up at the moment. This time he's hurt. Snap back. Here's Bray. Going to fire to the near side to no one in particular, and it goes out of bounds on fourth down and 10, and that will end the game.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That one's going to leave a mark. It is a victory Monday on The Score because we're all winners, damn it, regardless of what happens to the Bears. But, you know, David, I think there's an old saying that Bill Lazor didn't build Rome, something along those lines. And it sure didn't happen yesterday. Good morning. How are you?
Good Tuesday morning, Mully. Yeah, another Monday night meltdown just a few hours ago. That was brutal. That was difficult to watch. You know, the Bears, they don't seem to just lose. They get obliterated. You know, they don't seem to just kind of like come close. They just get smashed. And that was another nationally televised debacle. And there was insult, then there was injury, it was ineptitude, it was everything under the category of worst case scenario. I'm not sure. This is the same feeling you came out of watching the Rams play the Bears on Monday Night Football, except for last night, maybe a little bit worse.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a lot worse, and I think it was a lot worse because you had, you know, kind of two functioning units out of three, but the one that couldn't function really dragged you down. And it didn't just drag you down, it kind of, it got you in the rocks and it beat you up, and you ended up looking at that game and just bereft of idea, you know, just wondering, how do you, first of all, I think you wonder two things. One, how did it ever get this broken? How did they ever get to a point where with a new offensive-minded head coach, you're 3 years into the scheme and it's worse than ever, literally worse than ever? It started fine for the first half a season back in 2018. Right. And really since then, David, it's just been this sort of free fall, and it's astounding they're that bad. How can you I think you said in your column, great column by the way, and everyone should go to radio.com and check it out. You said that they made a defense in the Vikings look like the people, the purple people eaters. How is that humanly possible?
I don't know. I was looking for Jim Marshall and Alan Page, goodness sakes. That was a bad defense. That was the third worst defense in the NFL, giving up, what, 29 points a game, all those yards, and the Bears were inept against this defense. Mully, you point out the genesis of the downfall, if you will, going back to 2018, and I wonder what happened, and I wonder if the Bears began to take some things for granted at that point, not consciously certainly, but they felt like scheme trumped talent. And I feel like, right, at that point in time, they put so much they invested so much hope and resources in the intellectual kind of brilliance of Matt Nagy. Mm. And I think they overestimated just how much scheme could compensate for talent. Because you know what? As I wrote and as everybody saw, you can change who calls the plays. You can change the script, but you cannot change the roster or the talent. And that's painfully obvious each and every Sunday or Monday night.
And as Nick Foles was carted off the field, I couldn't help but just feel sorry for the guy that he got into this position with this group. You know, the offensive line was improved. They had some players back, but it was terrible. And he had absolutely no hope. When you are in a situation where you couldn't run even if you wanted to, and you got to throw the ball and it's the end of the game, the guy, I mean, it was comical to a certain extent. And to hear, well, you know, if he'd hit that pass, if Anthony Miller catches that pass, they score a touchdown there. What are the odds of that? It would be like a lightning strike. It would just be like someone actually got hit by lightning. Oh, I did win the lotto. My God, isn't that fantastic? They were no more in that game than you and myself and Dustin and Kevbo and all of our crew would be in that game. It was boys versus men, offense versus whomever. No.
Never got the sense that the Bears were competitive at the line of scrimmage, that they were going to control this football game. You never got the sense that the offense would get into a rhythm. They had maybe a drive that we wanted to overstate the significance of the tempo, and maybe they went 14 plays. Oh my gosh, a 14-play drive, and they didn't turn it over. But I think what happens is that we're looking so hard for something so good, and it just isn't there. And if we're all honest with ourselves, you have to come to the realization of a couple of things, is that the Bears offensive line, below average. You know, outside of Allen Robinson, they don't have a winning player in terms of a dynamic playmaker on offense. And if you say Cole Kmet, great, but find a way to use him, you know. And quarterback Nick Foles, great teammate, leads the league in character, but just very limited at this stage of his career. You can't put him behind that offensive line and expect good things to happen. It's all a mess. It's all broken, and you have six games to try to fix something.
You know, and I don't even know if you can do that. I think that the 5-1 start to the season has been exposed. They're 5-5 now. So, okay, here it is. You got a six-game run to the playoffs. If you feel like that's what's happening here, then you just played not paying attention. For the second year running, they found a way to lose four consecutive games. And there's no covering that up. There is no kind of forgiving it or pretending that's not the case. And guess what? Oh, they'll take their time off and they'll come back and everybody will be revitalized. And then they go into Lambeau and face the Green Bay Packers. And maybe that's their Waterloo. I don't know if it wasn't last night, but it was a must-win game. And that's what you got?
It felt like it was last night, Mully, didn't it? I think because, you know, you go into Lambeau and your expectations aren't going to be as high realistically as they were last night when we painted this as a must-win game. It was, and they didn't. And now you have to deal with the consequences. And please, I know this is going to be part of the conversation today, this morning, this week, over the next 12 days, but Mitch Trubisky is not going to make a difference. You know, if he is healthy enough to play, and I hope that he is, but this is not a one position problem. This is not all about the quarterback anymore. This is systemic. It's deep. It's a lot more than just, oh boy, you know, Mitch was bad and they pulled him too early this season and Foles was worse. And oh my gosh, you go back to Mitch and oh, look at all the Mitch haters. They're going to be proven wrong. No, this is much deeper than just one guy, one position.
I'm going to tell you something. I check Bet Rivers every morning before we start the show. The bye week is favored over the Bears. How? It's what? Another? How could they lose? Yeah. They're going to somehow
they could
be 6.5-point dogs to the bye week. That's where we're at with this team.
They are going to ruin your weekend regardless.
Whether they play or not.
That's commitment.
Yeah. The Bears did hold Cooks to 96 yards on 30 carries. Count them, 30 carries. Wow. And they did a pretty good job for much of the night. It got a little more difficult when Akeem Hicks left. Yes, Akeem Hicks limped off after clearly pulling a hamstring in pursuit of Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, congratulations to him. He won on Monday Night Football.
How about
The 0-for-9 streak is over. All he needed was to face the Bears. Oh, that's
he's
so
1-for-10. That was a home run. And, Mully, you know, Dalvin Cook was bottled up pretty well. And then Akeem Hicks limped off at the end of the third quarter. And then Cook picked up 57 of his 96 yards after Hicks left, and his biggest runs with Hicks on the sideline. That tells you just dominant Akeem Hicks was in stretches last night again.
Yeah, and what an important player for this team. So it's something you kind of hold your breath to wait and hear about. You know, hamstrings, that's not a quick fix injury. That is a serious injury. So we'll see how the Bears manage without him, if indeed he is out for any extended period. You know, ditto with the quarterback, felt terrible for him. I guess it was his right hip or his lower back, or the guy literally broke his rear end is apparently what happened, but took a big hit and went down hard and was in pain, and he's a tough guy, and they had to cart him off.
Yeah, you could see him kind of understanding right away that there was something wrong. There was concern on the field. And that did not look like something that he was going to be able to recover from quickly. We don't know. Matt Nagy sounded a little bit rattled after the game. He didn't know. And a lot of people, and I thought it was very classy, Kirk Cousins, before he said anything else about the game, he wished Nick Foles well because they're friends going back to the 2007 recruiting class at Michigan State. You just hope Nick Foles does recover and is available or around and is not in a lot of pain.
Obviously, special teams did very well. They had the kick return for a touchdown, and lo and behold, they found a punt returner. Apparently, they actually they actually got to their third punt returner, and it seemed like the one they should have gotten to before. What are you going to do? It was just one of those nights where a couple decent things happened, but nothing on offense.
When Anthony Miller emerges as your most dependable option at any position, you know it's a bad night.
All right, we're going to get into all of it. There's so much to talk about. We'll pick it apart for you. The Miami Dolphins have released Jordan Howard. You want Jordan Howard back?
Pass.
You could,
Pass.
Okay. Tony La Russa, as we feared, has not been cleared of charges. His case in Arizona is scheduled to be refiled in a different jurisdiction. Case was originally filed in the wrong court. Kenny Williams did speak, optimistic. Seems like he's looking
How about
forward.
That?
Says it's going to be fun to watch Tony La Russa and the young core get together.
Thanks for checking in.
The entire 2021 NCAA basketball tournament will be held in one location, most likely in Indianapolis, but it's
going
to be a different year.
Where else?
Unfortunately, there are issues with different teams. For instance, the Loyola Ramblers have paused basketball team activities. The start of the season will be delayed, so we don't have the exact numbers as to why, but you can use your imagination, and that is a pity because they should have a good team back, and they've been looking forward to their season, and I think everyone is doing so in college basketball, but it's going to be a tough one to get going. The NBA back open for business. Oklahoma City has traded Chris Paul to Phoenix for Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lekwe, and draft compensation. The Pelicans trading Drew Holiday. It's trade season. We'll find out.
How about the Bucks? How about the Bucks loading up? I mean, they're doing
Drew
all
Holiday.
They can to keep Giannis in Milwaukee, and that's giving him a team. They made some big moves last night.
Today's Tuesday, the 17th of November. Tomorrow, the 18th, is draft day. So the Bulls pick fourth, and we'll find out what, if anything, they have going for them. Mark Burley is on the ballot for the 2021 Hall of Fame, and so is Aramis Ramirez. So that is good to see. You know, Burley has done things in baseball that no one could have imagined. And there aren't many guys that have had a career like Mark Burley. I don't know that it's a Hall of Fame career, but just hearing his name made me smile, David. It helps me get through these dark times of offensive football.
Whatever it takes. I think it might be a little bit soon for Mark Burley to be enshrined, but he certainly is worthy of conversation.
Yeah. They'll wait for the veteran committee. They could sneak him in. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
until Reinsdorf has say in it. Yeah.
We'll take that one on. All right. We've got so much to talk about, so much to get to. The pick six. We're going to get to the key questions out of that Bear game, and we're going to break it down for you. We got a big show planned. We're going to figure this thing out, even if the Bears can't. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
With their fourth straight loss dropping into 500 on the season, are the Bears fast becoming an also-ran in the NFC North? And with four straight losses 2 years in a row, is it time to talk about firing people at the top?
Boy, I mean, those are hard conversations, but what else do you talk about during a bye week, especially one where a 5-1 team has turned 5-5? So, yeah, I think it's all on the table. And also, Rand is being polite about it. I mean, a couple more games like this, and the Bears are going to be looking up in the standings to more than just Green Bay. These are not good teams that are also with them in the division, but they apparently are better than the Bears. I'm talking about the Vikings and maybe even Detroit. But any playoff dream, any hope like that has been exposed, as have the 5-1 Bears. And I think when you see that happen, when you see them sort of fail to win ugly, if you will, then, let's go ahead and talk about those at the top and what needs doing, because something has to happen. It's 6 years into the Ryan Pace era, and there's no offense to speak of.
It's one thing for us to talk about it. Of course we're going to talk about it. This is Chicago. It's a sports talk radio station. The Bears stink. They have four in a row for the second year in a row. But it's more important that the guys at the Hallis Hall highest level, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, have a discussion. You have to address this. It's unlikely that they will clean house at the end of this season in the midst of a pandemic, but it's not outrageous to consider. This is professional sports. The Bears aren't getting it done. Matt Nagy was brought here to fix the offense. For a half of season in 2018, it was a glorious run. What a glorious half season that was. It's been broken since. In 16 of the past 26 games since the beginning of the 2019 season, this offense, led by the offensive guru, has failed to score 20 or more points. This is his handpicked staff. This is their handpicked quarterback. This is Ryan Pace's and Matt Nagy's shared problem. You want to pick one over the other? Okay, we can have that conversation. But you have to have the conversation about who is to be held accountable for a disappointing year that started 5-1. And we were told the Bears are better than this. They're not. So what are you going to do about it? Absolutely, they need to have this conversation up at Hallis Hall.
It's a pick six.
If Nick Foles is out for an expanded length of time after being stretchered off late in the fourth quarter, do the Bears need to change schemes if they are forced to go back to Mitchell Trubisky if he is healthy?
Well, they're not changing schemes. No way are they changing schemes. I mean, they may be tweaking here or there. They may be adjusting here or there. Mitch Trubisky's not the answer either, okay? I mean, before we get to that, down that road too far, I think a lot of people want to go there, but Mitch was replaced for a reason. It wasn't because of 2.5 games. It was because of 44 NFL starts. you know what you have in him, and it's not the answer. And you missed. You missed in the draft, Ryan Pace, and you were unable to develop him, Matt Nagy. He may be the guy who gives you the best chance to win in your final six games, but this isn't some sort of revelation you're waiting to see happen. I just don't see it. If you're Mitch Trubisky, you want to be careful. You want to come back if and when you're healthy. But if he is healthy, yeah, I think this is the time to turn to him. I think Nick Foles looks like he's going to be, you know, later rather than sooner in terms of a return. So you bring Mitch back and you hope that he can use his legs to complement his arm the way he has when he is going well.
Yeah, bring Mitch back and have him run for his life. Is that the idea? Look, I guess that is the idea. Here's the reality. They shifted away from Mitch. They changed quarterbacks because they believed that Nick Foles, Matt Nagy believed it, could run his scheme better than Mitchell Trubisky. They have determined that Mitchell Trubisky can't run this scheme. Now, you know, roll the guy out. Get the guy on the move. There are ways of using a quarterback in this scheme that limits some of the play-calling opportunities you might have. But that's the idea. When you roll a guy out, you give him half a field to look at. He doesn't have to look at the entirety of it. So whatever it takes to make anything work, do it. Try it. Give it a shot. I mean, Taylor Bray's been there for how many years? He's sitting there. Let's see what he can do.
Why not?
Find out. You need to know what you have at that position, and it's virtually impossible to determine that when you have so few positions you can rely upon. I'm talking about your offensive line. You know, they've gone a very long time without fixing that, and no scheme is going to do it. I don't know that Patrick Mahomes, if he had made the right draft pick, would be able to bail him out of this.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Maybe, though. Did you notice any improvement?
Like to see it.
Did you notice any improvement in the Bears offense under new play caller Bill Lazor? Is it a fair question given the abbreviated preparation time, and are you expecting better after the bye week?
Yeah, I'm expecting better after the bye week. I guess we have an update. Breaking news, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network says that despite being stretchered off, that Nick Foles did not suffer a major injury. An initial test show no fracture in his hip, and he'll undergo further evaluation. So maybe Nick will be back faster than expected. But I think Bill Lazor was in an absolutely impossible position. It was like, oh, Bill, here, take this mess quick, make something of it. No, it you know, now that he has another week, maybe it can't be fixed.
No, and I got the impression listening to Matt Nagy afterward that maybe Bill Lazor had been doing a little bit of this before and we just didn't realize it. But I have to be honest, had you not known that they switched to Bill Lazor, had you not understood what was going on there, you wouldn't have been able to tell any difference. I didn't see any noticeable difference. They had one drive, and I think we tried to exaggerate the importance of it, or maybe the tempo of it. Maybe a bye week helps, but unless you're going to shuttle in better offensive linemen to protect the pocket and to control the line of scrimmage in the run game, I don't think it's going to make any a bit of difference. So Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy, you can change the play caller, but you can't change the talent.
Pick six! Wow!
How disturbing was it to see Akeem Hicks limping off in the third quarter with a hamstring injury? Where does Hicks fit on the list of players the Bears can least afford to lose?
Well, I think we saw. I mean, I think we definitely saw the result of that, because once he's gone, Dalvin Cook found some room. 57 of his 90-some yards were after Akeem Hicks left, I believe, and that tells you everything. I have to be honest, though. When I saw him leaving, it's like he knew. He knew that something was wrong with him. I feared that it was an Achilles, because sometimes if you know that, but almost a relief that is just a hamstring. There's nothing to take lightly. You wonder how the off week will affect him, but it just reinforces how important he is to that defense. I don't know that they have a more valuable player in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're down Eddie Goldman, right? And that's been a problem all year long, and they've had difficulty stopping the run, and Akeem has played great and has had to play great, and he is an unbelievable presence in the middle of that line. He's also kind of a Pied Piper type. He's an emotional leader of that team, And he is as essential a player as you have on that defense. And he's either top of the list or 1A on that list of players you can least afford to lose. And that's how these things end up working out, where you lose the last guy you can afford to. So it's a train wreck if you lose Akeem. That makes the defense worse, significantly worse, in my opinion.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
In his first comments since the Tony La Russa hire, White Sox president Kenny Williams told MLB.com it would be fun to watch how La Russa related to young players and that it doesn't really matter how it came to the decision. The decision was made, and now it's up to all of us to pull together and make it work. What is your interpretation of Williams' comments?
That Jerry hired Tony La Russa and that no one else wanted to? That's my interpretation, because effectively that's what he said, right? When you talk about, well, it doesn't matter how he got hired. What matters is what happens now. This is exactly what you think this is. There's no hidden plan here or some secret about what was going on. Dejected Rick Hahn is basically told you everything you needed to know when you watched that introductory Zoom. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone to find out that, it doesn't matter how he was hired or who hired him or whether we got to interview him or if we wanted someone else. You could fill in so many sentences to what Kenny said. And guess what? He's right, not about it being fun, but about it being, it doesn't matter now. He's your guy. You're going to stick to him. What about the deal? It doesn't matter now, but it keeps getting mentioned, and it keeps embarrassing the organization. Even the refiling of check doesn't matter now. Okay. All right. I'll stay with it.
Was Kenny reading off remarks prepared by Reinsdorf people, or La Russa's lawyer? That's the only thing I wonder about that. who wrote those comments? Of course, it confirmed everything that you suspected when you saw the look on Rick Hahn's face when he introduced the new manager that he couldn't hire. And he had nothing to do with. And everything that he says, Kenny Williams waits a couple weeks and kind of floats it out there. We love Kenny. I appreciate everything that he
Absolutely.
Has accomplished as a White Sox executive. But come on now. I mean, this is a bit far to expect us to believe that it's going to be fun to watch. I think they're going to be wondering exactly how this is going to go. This is a grand experiment. They can't tell me that La Russa is going to relate to young players any more than anybody can, guarantee anything. So, yeah, how I interpret Kenny's comments was confirmation of what we all have been saying about the hierarchy of the White Sox and who makes the ultimate decision, at least when it comes to managerial hires. We were right.
Yeah, it's not just a grand experiment. It's a grandparent experiment.
Pick six!
The Bulls decided not to make Chris Dunn a qualifying offer. And now the Clippers are reportedly interested in Dunn. Does that make you believe even more that the Bulls will draft a point guard on Wednesday night, or is the decision on Dunn unrelated?
Shaq Harrison also, I think, is going to be an ex-Bull soon after the decisions made yesterday. Not a huge surprise. I guess in the back of your mind, you wondered if Chris Dunn was going to be brought back. But I think that when you attach this to what AK said on the day he was introduced and kind of players who have multiple skills and versatility, I think Chris Dunn was too one-dimensional for the Bulls roster moving forward. And, yeah, they want a lead guard, whether it's, they want somebody who's going to be it probably leads you to believe they're more likely to get one now, although, it's hard to really predict. And I think anybody that says they know which way the Bulls are leaning is maybe, exercising, they're giving themselves a little too much credit. Who knows? Who really knows the way the Bulls are going to go? They've never drafted before. But I think a point guard makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, it's obviously a position of need. Now they got a lot of guards, and they're keeping Denzel Valentine, which was a real surprise to me, much more so than Chris Dunn. Listen, the Chris Dunn thing, if you go back over it, you can blame the NBA. Didn't his qualifying number jump up significantly because he was given a crude kind of a time? They prorated all the time. The Bulls were at a point where he had not reached a higher level qualifying offer, and it might have been a couple million dollars cheaper. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that played into this, and it's unfortunate. I've got a lot of respect for Chris Dunn because of the way that he played in his situation, but at the same time, you've got to move on because he's not worth the kind of money. It's like $7 or $8 million that he would be due.
7.1 for Dunn, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. But it's just not worth it for him. And what was the number? 4.6 or 4. Something?
For Denzel,
it's too big. It's not that much money. So I can't wait to see who they draft. I'm very curious about it, and we'll get to all of it. We'll also get to our guy Brad Biggs. We've got Biggs time coming up next. We'll find out his thoughts on what went awry for the Chicago Bears. But first, let's get to Kev Bowen's scoreboard update. Welcome back, Kevin.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Oh, boy. That one's going to leave a mark. I don't know. Can you fix an offense? Can you fix the amount of issues and problems this team has over the course of a bye week? Obviously, poor Bill Lazor couldn't get that done over short preparation, or I guess he had an extra day, but it didn't feel like it. Do you think they told him on Friday? Because it looked like it.
Yeah, I don't know. They're lucky there weren't fans in the building last night, guys. That would have been... That's where you run into one of those ugly situations where people are booing when Nick Foles leaves the field in the cart.
Yeah.
It was that bad. And, no, they can't fix this over the bye week. That's not going to happen. Maybe they can create a little bit of insight into some of the issues and things that are plaguing them. But they've got just about every fundamental problem you can think of. Offensive football in the NFL these days is all about explosive plays. It's about gaining chunk yardage, and the Bears have a complete inability to do that. They really struggle to sustain drives. You know, they had the one, which was really nice, and you saw that, and you're like, hey, a breath of fresh air here. You could tell that they were focused on Foles getting the ball out quickly and getting it to the perimeter, and so they're able to move downfield, but none of it was sustainable. They can't run the ball, struggled to deal with any kind of pressure from the Vikings. You know, you saw a game plan there from Mike Zimmer where he was just like, screw it, we're going to go after the quarterback. And then to the point that when they bluffed and it looked like they might be coming, Foles thought they were still coming. So it was a total mess.
You know, Brad, there are plenty of big picture implications coming out of last night. But before we get to any of those, you know, from the short term, looking at the quarterback position, we saw Foles go down. Obviously, I think the report this morning is that it's not a serious injury, but it did look bad. What do you think the Bears will do at quarterback moving forward before the Packers game?
Well, I would imagine, I think everyone imagines, that if Mitch Trubisky's right shoulder is medically cleared, he starts against the Packers. Otherwise, you're potentially looking at the long-awaited debut of Tyler Bray, or I should say starting debut, would be his first start in a non-exhibition game since 2012 for the Tennessee Volunteers. It's been that long for Tyler Bray. And you might want to bone up a little bit on Kyle Sloter, who was signed to the practice squad last week. Because if Foles can't go and Mitch can't go, Kyle Sloter would figure to potentially be the backup quarterback at Lambeau Field.
This segment with Brad Biggs is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And, Brad, we talked yesterday. We talked with you about it, the importance of the game, the significance of it in the Bears season. And I think now you have to look at things a little bit differently. They have lost four consecutive games for the second year in a row. And that's not getting the job done. And it doesn't seem, as you said, that the problems they have on the offense can be repaired anytime soon. It takes an off-season overhaul to get something like that done. Who makes the overhaul? Who gets the next quarterback in here? When does this clock kind of run out?
Well, that's a good question. And they're at four losses in a row. And you figure there's a good chance they're running to five in a row after the bye, right? Heading up to Green Bay to face the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. The Bears have traditionally done a terrific job against that Minnesota offense. Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins. We've seen Cousins have miserable games against the Bears. Cook has run into a wall against the Bears. Well, Cousins got enough done last night. Cook got going a little bit at the end. And Minnesota is able to turn the tide. How's that going to happen against what Green Bay can do offensively? That's the thing here. So that's why they had to win that game. They had to stop their losing streak, straighten things out before they head up to Green Bay, because that could be lost five in a row. So who is charged with sorting this mess out? I don't know, but the uglier it gets, certainly the greater percentage there is for some type of overhaul or change within the organization at the end of the year. How do you do a coaching search in COVID or a GM search? Because they wouldn't do a coaching search, I don't think, without a GM search. I think they're probably together in that regard. And then how much does the pandemic play into factors that the McCaskey family and others that have a voice in that conversation? Certainly you figure Ted Phillips is part of that as well. How much does the pandemic play into things?
Well, finances, I think, as you're referring to. I mean, yeah. Buying out contracts and things like that. And those are good points. I just wonder, standing pat, if it continues to go down this road. And, it's been a pretty steady descent over the last month or so. If your December is as bad as your November, I don't know that you would have a choice. And I think that it'd be really hard to defend not changing something, whether it's, one or the other or both. Because, Brad, I mean, you look at last night, obviously it's just more the same. The Bears, since the beginning of the 2019 season, I think 16 of the last 26 games have not scored in the 20s. You got to start over.
Yeah. The offense is. This isn't a 2020 issue. This isn't coronavirus did a whammy on the Bears offense. The Bears offense was really bad last season. Really, the offense. Go back and take a close look at it. The back half, the final third of that 2018 season, offense really wasn't doing anything. It certainly didn't do anything against the Eagles in that playoff game, but they've sort of continued down the path. And they had some shots last night. They had a couple opportunities that they missed throw to Miller, and they blitzed, and the Bears had six guys to pick it up, and the pocket wasn't perfect, but Foles is trying to complete a throw downfield off one leg, and he's got to stand in there. And I know I said that after the Rams game on Monday night, and that's what's troubling too for the Bears, is they're just getting pounded on national television with that 24-10 loss at the Rams, then last night's fiasco, and then of course they'll come out of the bye week. Everyone will be sitting at home at the end of their holiday weekend, and it's Bears at Packers, and Lord knows what that's going to look like in a little less than 2 weeks.
I hope Dwayne Harris wasn't a great source for you. I would wonder if if he has much of a future with the Bears at the tender age of 33 and incapable of the fair catch, apparently. Look, I liked what I saw of Anthony Miller as punt returner just because he showed some quickness and he showed some return ability, and maybe he's a better
punt. Ball.
Well, that's a huge part of it. But, I mean, he also didn't drop it. Look, that is a boogeyman position all of a sudden, and I guess we don't know who you're going to start cutting off the roster when people start coming back, but I guess Wims is due. Yeah, that's what I was getting.
Wims is due, and they're only at 52, so Wims will bring him to 53.
Okay.
Hey, a couple positive points here. One penalty for 5 yards last night, guys.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, you got one penalty for 5 yards. You've got two takeaways. You've got Cordero doing his thing. I mean, you start thinking, boy, where are they going to be in a game when they can get two takeaways, a special team score, completely reduce the penalties, eliminate them? You'd figure they'd be all right.
But losing Hicks really take a step back defensively. And that's not a 1 or 2 week injury when you see a guy pull up with a hamstring.
But even with that, guys, I mean, 32-yard punt return, you start to, in Viking territory with 5 minutes to go with the 46-yard line, you got to get some points.
Right.
That's your chance to win the game right there. Right there. And they had third and five, and they run that wide receiver screen that goes for minus four.
Oh.
Then you're at fourth and nine, and it just – boy, small sample size for Bill Lazor. It was 50 offensive plays total. Hopefully he can be better next time out. And, again, at Green Bay, which will be is going to be a tough draw for the Bears.
Bears have mastered that three and out offense. They're really good at that.
Oh boy.
All right. Sorry.
Good stuff, Brad.
Bigsy, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
Yeah, we have other plans after last night. We're not planning on having a good day. All right. We want to make someone's day, though. We're going to be giving away our gift of the year, my gift of the year. And, David, I know you love this gift as well. It is the DrinkWorks drink maker, and it is one of the absolutely glorious and wondrous gifts out there, and hopefully somebody can win it. We gave one away yesterday. We'll be giving one away all week long, the DrinkWorks by Keurig. And we should tell you that segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Bet Rivers. We're going to bring in Tom Thayer next, and we'll ask Tom how bad it got watching the failure on offense, and are there things they can do better in the bye week, or are we officially bailing on this season at 500? Mully and Haw on the score.